I'd be willing to bet that if I just decided that we just go around the table for the rest of the night and say something different every time, that you could come up with something else that you're thankful for. You see, the thing is, we don't really realize how many things we're thankful for until we start thinking about them, you know, or when they're taken away. A lot of times when they're taken away, we realize that we were thankful for them. But there's so many different things in our lives that we're thankful for. I mean, like these chairs. A chair is not a big deal, but I'm glad I'm not standing right now. Right? Clothes. I'm fat. You don't want to see me right now. You know what I mean? Right? Cars, buses, food. Man, Gonzalez family. Thankful for them today. Right? I mean, just anything that you can think of. And the Bible talks about an attitude of gratitude. And that's really kind of a mindset of understanding that everything we come into contact with is really a blessing. Now, a lot of times, and we're going to get a little deeper into that here in a minute, but a lot of times, we don't realize that we're thankful for tough times. You know, I heard a couple of you. Marvin said something crazy. He always does. But not very many people thank God for their broken ankle. Or thank God for this flu I'm got. You know what I mean? You don't thank God for all those things. You know, but we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I got some fun facts about Thanksgiving just to loosen you guys up a little bit. You know a wild turkey can run 20 miles per hour when it's scared? But the Americans eat 46 million turkeys each Thanksgiving. Californians the most. And the average Thanksgiving turkey weighs 15 pounds, but the Guinness World Record turkey was 86 pounds. Wow. Lucky, I could have caught that one. Right? I know I could have caught that. I couldn't have caught the wild one, but I know I could have caught that one. And since 1947, the president has actually pardoned a turkey from being cooked each year. Now, this fun fact kind of offended me a little bit. So I can think of other pardons that would be more beneficial, but that's probably my field, right? I'm sure the turkey appreciates it too. But Thanksgiving is Fiesta La Dia de la Pavo. That's Thanksgiving. And in the States, as far as Thanksgiving is concerned, in 1621, the Plymouth colonists, 50 of them, got with the Wampanoag. I'm sorry, guys, about your name. I know I didn't get that right, but we're close. 90 of them. And the Indians shared the autumn feast and acknowledging the first Thanksgiving of feasts. 2 centuries later, Abraham Lincoln proclaims it a national Thanksgiving to hold each November. But the initial one had no turkey. It was actually deer, ducks, oyster, lobster, venison. I mean, just whatever they could catch at that time. They were actually going to fast, but it was the Indian tribes that got with them and said, no, this is going to be a feast. The feast lasted 3 days. That's where it came from. But to us as Christians, Thanksgiving means something different. I mean, obviously the state and the history and everything, we get that. The turkey's a bomb. All right, I'm down with that, right? But there's something more to Thanksgiving. And there's something more, kind of what we were talking about. And it's the very act of giving thanks. It's a prayer expressing gratitude. It does happen to be the fourth Thursday in November, observed as a legal holiday for giving thanks for divine goodness. That's what it states. But divine means relating to or being God, goodness, excellence, or virtue, right? But that isn't really what we're thinking about. Like, we're going around the table, you know, I'm thankful, but don't think I'm not thankful for my kids. I am. And Joel, that's a powerful message. I remember the day when I thought that I was starting to win them over, and it took a very, very, very long time. You know, it takes a while to regain the confidence of those that you've broken over time, and then rightfully so, right? There was a long period of time where I was kind of frustrated with them for being short with me because I had made a lot of progress, but they were still watching for that last moment because you run good for 2 years and bang, you run good for 6 months and bang, you run good. That don't sound familiar? Right, they're waiting for that roller coaster to drop. You know, they're like, I'm not going to get all in with this guy. I know what he does. You know, that's what Tim said. You're home, you know. But you know, having an idea of Thanksgiving as far as relating to or being to God puts a new spin on this thing for me. In Psalm 100, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness is to all generations. I like this verse because he says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. There's that attitude of gratitude and understanding that a lot of times circumstances in our lives spin us in a different direction. We feel differently inside. Sometimes we're discontent. Sometimes we're frustrated with our circumstances. And sometimes we just don't feel thankful for the things that we got. Most of the time, and I'll bet you, it's because our mindset is watching all the things that we want to have that we don't have yet. But we've disregarded all the progress we've already made from where we came from. Yes or no? Right? Does that make sense? So that mindset of going into His gates with thanksgiving all the time is showing that I'm appreciative for what I got right now. If I'm not appreciative for what I got right now, why should God bless me for more? If I'm not responsible with my decisions that I'm making today, then why should I get the ability to make more decisions? You know, yes or no? And you think about God and watching me and going, well, He's at about a level 6 right now, and He's only keeping about half of that under control, but He's mad at me because I won't let Him grow, or He won't listen, right? But He wants it right now, microwave generation, want it now. I don't want to cook it, I'm not going to catch it, I can't catch it, right? But I want it, and I want it now. And that's this thing we got to get away from. We got to go into those courts with thanksgiving and say, God, I know I am definitely not where I want to be today, but I'm thankful for where I am. Amen. I'm thankful for the bed that I have. I'm thankful for the networking, whether it be family or friends or faith-based mentoring ministries or other mentors or other groups or whatever it may be that's helping me make positive choices to build me and grow with me that want me to succeed. I'm thankful for that, right? I may not have all the things I need right now, but I'm thankful for the few things that I got. Going in and understanding that His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness is to all generations. 1 Thessalonians says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks, that's God's will in Christ Jesus. What does that disclude? If in everything I should give thanks, then what should I cut out of that? It just doesn't, but in my mindset, it doesn't make sense because I've gone through some serious tragedies in my life, and it'd be hard for me to try to wrap my mind around the fact that I can go and pray to God about this tragedy and say thank you. You know, I mean, because I understand God's mindset is just so much more above mine, but the power of being thankful and gracious in every situation, and it always comes back to, I was talking to somebody today about the fact that you always weigh it out. Is it better to have loved and lost than not to have loved at all? You know, what's the answer to that? I think the majority of the people always say, well, I would have rather loved and had that experience with that individual and lost them than not to have loved or met them at all. Right? You know? And it's just sometimes the question's tough, but he says, in everything give thanks, for that's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So in pain, what should I do? Thanks. Give thanks. Thank you, Elvis. In need, what should I do?
Give thanks.
Give thanks. All right. In anything, what should I do then? Right? Give thanks. Everybody, yes or no? Yep. We didn't all catch on at that point? Yes. Think about it. So, in everything, give thanks. And we won't talk about this specifically if we could go to the Old Testament and talk about Job. Job was a gentleman who lost every single thing that he had, period, including his children. And God told him to go aside and pray for his friends so his friends would be blessed. But look at the mentality of Job. Like if you just came to me after I lost my kids and say, hey, you need to go pray for Cliff and Jeff, I'd be like, are you crazy? Right? Look at what I'm going through. You want me to go pray for somebody else right now? But see, God understands God, right? You know, and I know that Ben does not all the time, and I need to learn and grow. But he told Job to go and pray for his friends. And when Job went, and he went and prayed for all of his friends' needs and was thankful in everything, in every circumstance, that's when God blessed him. Amen? That's when God restored him. When he was devout and faithful and giving out of his heart in that great time of pain and the great time of need, he still sacrificed his own self and prayed for the needs of others and served the needs of others. And God blessed him. Amen. Amen. I think that's an important thing for us to understand when we start to get a little pessimistic, a little frustrated about our circumstances, a little angry about the way that things are going on. Now all of a sudden I'm focused on my own circumstances, and I all of a sudden don't get an opportunity to help this individual that God brought my way. God brought an individual my way specifically because I believe in him, but because of my mindset today, I didn't help him out. But yet, I wake up tomorrow and I continue to live in my own circle because God's trying to break me out. Amen? All right, so you got to start thinking about that. In Romans 18:21, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. For the men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, of his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, have clearly been seen and being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." And then he comes in and he goes, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their own speculations, and in their own foolish heart was darkened." Now here's a process of something that we really should pay attention to. A lot of times in our lives, we get to the point at where, and I hope that we're not at that point today, where we begin to dismiss God. We begin to accept the fact that our experience is more important, our knowledge is more important, our schedule is more important, and we begin to dismiss God. Our phones, our times, our schedules, our girl, you know, our appointments, our jobs, put everything in there. It's all more important than God because it pertains to me. Directly, right? And I have to get this done. And what happens is we begin to suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And he says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes and his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly being understood throughout what has been made, so they are without excuse. So God says, I'm going to put it all out right here in front of you, and you either A, are going to accept me, or B, are not going to accept me, but you will not be without excuse. Amen? Bottom line. None of us be without excuse. That's clear. So he puts that out there, and then he goes, for they knew God, but they didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their own speculations, and then their foolish heart was darkened. I can remember a large period of my lifetime, for many a years, that could fit perfectly within this. But I look at it, and it says, nor did they even give thanks. So in our reference today, the very bare minimum of what we can do, we could at least honor God for what we have today. Amen? Amen. That's just the first step. It blows me away that they would go off on their whole path. They would block God completely out. But yet in the scripture, he was like, but they didn't even give thanks. Right? I can think of 1,000 more things that you could do to me that would frustrate me 10 times worse than ever not thanking me for something. Right? But God was like, they're not even thankful. They just travel on and do whatever they want to do. They don't even thank me. You know? I think I would think differently about that. So then the result of that is becoming futile in their own speculations. Their foolish heart was darkened. And my reference for this verse is in 2 Corinthians. Check this out. He says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they may not see that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So when you think about this, not honoring God hardens our hearts. And continuing to follow along with my own will, my own way, my own needs, and cutting God out of my life just continues to harden me and break me down. When in reality of all, when I break it down, start thinking to myself, what are the things that I really sold out to, like before, previously? Sold out to drugs, sold out to money, sold out to respect, sold out to who you thought I was supposed to be, right? Who are you talking to? You talking to me like that? Right? Pride? Who has a problem with pride today? Amen. Thank you for raising your hand. At least you're honest. Right? Think about it. And he this is messed up because in 2 Corinthians, he says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing." So what's the mindset of me when I'm failing like this? It means that God's telling me, like a red flag, that I'm going down. And praise God for him being patient for me to catch a 45-year case. Right? And somehow use that to benefit me. And that wasn't in God's plan. That was in my plan. But God used that. Right? Amen? Now you think about this. "In whose case of God, the God of the world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they may not see." So my question to us today is, what's that shiny thing in front of me so I don't get it? Right? What's been dangled out in front of me that I can't really see the glory of the light of God that's in Christ Jesus? What is it? Is it cocaine? Is it money? Is it drugs? Is it strippers? Is it, what is it? Right? Is it status? We know in our hearts everything that it is, and I'm not afraid to put it on the table because I have defects. Right? I believe the first step in understanding exactly who we are and growing from it is just admitting exactly where we truly are with ourselves. Every day I wake up, I keep telling myself, no. As another day, I'm walking unblinded and I can't see. But see, he comes back in the previous verse on 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, whenever a person turns to the light of the Lord, the veil is taken away. And that's when a mentor or a church group or a sister or somebody that loves Christ reaches out to you and says, God loves you, Mick, right? This is my case. There's a little tiny dude. He's like this tall. He was Gene Detmer. He's reach up and he grabbed my shoulder and he wouldn't let me go. And I was in prison and he just would never let me go. I'm going to pray for you. I'm surrounded, right? He's, I'm going to pray for you. I was like, I don't want you to pray for me. I don't want you to bother me. You know what I mean? But he never would let go. And I couldn't. For some reason, for being this tall, he had a monster grip. I wasn't going to shake him. So for four years, Gene would come visit me. I'm going to pray for you. And you know what? Over the course of 4 years, I woke up one day, I didn't curse anymore. I woke up one day, my mom took my phone calls. I woke up one day, my family was revived. I woke up one day, I was coming home. Amen. And then this little guy was just praying for me. And it specifically says in the Bible, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So if I turn my heart to God and I just say, God, I don't know where I am right now with you, but I'm going to go in this room and I'm going to shut the door when nobody else is around. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to call you out. So you say you are God. Show yourself to me. Work with me. Here I am putting it all on the table for you. Show me. And what I ask to you is, if you look at your track record of everything you've been through, what is it that you got to lose to call him out on his name? Amen, right? If you look at my track record, my criminal history and everything that I've been through, what could have I possibly lost at that point to not call on God? Amen? Leviticus 7:12 says the sacrifice of thanksgiving, a dispensation of the law versus the dispensation of grace. And when you talk about the dispensation of law versus the dispensation of grace, this a sacrifice of thanksgiving. God considers and understands that we're actually going out of our way to show him that we're thankful for the things that we're receiving. There's a difference there. In Colossians, he says, having firmly been rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. So what's the side effect from having faith? And when you meet like lots of new Christians who begin to understand and get it, they start to glow. You ever meet somebody that was just about maybe 4, 5, 6 months in their faith, they're reading all the time, it's just like they're glowing. You're like, man, that's wild. You know, it's that energy. It's transferring from that guilt of all these past decisions and all these things that you have to be accountable for that God does not hold you accountable to in Christ. Amen? How many of us wake up every single day and we still remember every bad thing we've ever done? But if I woke up and then I really put that on Christ and he said that I've removed this from you, you are clean, then it's me and the devil putting it back on me every morning, right? If God removed it, why do I gotta wake up with it? Amen? I don't. Because he said I don't have to. And here he says, having firmly rooted, now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. There's a sign, that mindset of gratitude. And I challenge you to wake up tomorrow before you get out of bed, before you shut the alarm clock go off. And this is a serious challenge for me, but thank God for that alarm clock. Amen. If your first thought tomorrow morning is thank you, God, for the alarm clock. Thank you, God, for the comforter. I won't break that thing, to be honest with you. But I'm going to thank him for it tomorrow morning. Amen. Thank you for this bed. Thank you for this alarm clock. Thank you for this 4:30 a.m. tee off to work time. Thank you for this drive of these people that won't drive the speed limit. Thank you for all these things. And tell me that your mindset won't be different. Amen? Right? If I'm driving around and I'm just thanking God for all these beautiful things that he puts in our lives rather than, you know, hating this job and hating this alarm clock and hating this time and hating this pay and hating this boss, it just traps us in that mindset of failure. Amen? We're going to put that mindset of attitude of gratitude in our lives. 1 Timothy 4 says, "For everything created by God is good, nothing to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by the means of the word of God and prayer." So when we receive these good gifts from God and we thank Him for them, it sanctifies that gift in our lives. Now that's a much deeper conversation that I'm sure we're going to break up at some other point in time. But Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we receive the kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, for by which we may offer to God acceptable service with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire." I like this verse in many different scenarios. He said, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken." How long in our lives have we been thrown off our game? How many times in our lives where we've had great momentum and hit a brick wall, great momentum, hit a brick wall, and we just never really realize why all these things are occurring? If we get rooted in our faith, built up in Christ, just as we're instructed, we cannot be shaken. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I would like to share with the group.
Hold on, Delvis, real quick.
Yeah.
It said, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, therefore show gratitude, for which we will offer to God acceptable service with reverence and awe." And see, here is the end of the verse. I mean, he says, "For God is a consuming fire." That's a thing for me to remember, to keep in mind at all point in times, that I'm not just messing with the God that I created. You know, Malachi 6:7 said, for I, the Lord, do not change." He's such a powerful God, and He has to eliminate the sin from our lives. He has to eliminate the sin from this world. So we cannot serve the God that I created that allows me to cheat on my taxes, that allows me to not be accountable for my mistakes, that allows me to continue to put down, as long as I'm a good guy, I'm all good. We gotta serve the God of the Word, the God of the Scripture, the God that puts Himself before us. And remember, He is a consuming fire. Now, the point of that is that He says here, which is an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Right? So a lot of times, we can just take a step back and be thankful for God and in awe of God, so that He clearly understands that we're thankful for the things that we've received. Right? Like, God is hungry to have a relationship with us, to grow us. These last few messages that we've had over the last couple weeks, and I'm going to let Elvis take over here after this, but in these last few messages that we've had, we've been talking a little bit about, you know, consistency, being on track, and then grace, and what is grace, and what's the level of grace. But see, I think the problem is that we have a mindset of what love is to us. And love is something that's let us down. Love is something we've never been able to produce consistently. Love is something that we've lied about. Love is something that we haven't been able to share unconditionally. And now we're running into something where we're learning about love and its true nature. And it doesn't quite make sense. And it's okay that it doesn't make sense. It's only matter that we continue to grow and understand it. When God says, "I love you," then He means, "I am what you need. I'll provide for you." In the Old Testament, there was 1,000 different names for God, but that comes all the way down to the fact that God specifically states, "I am what you need." And that's a very powerful message to understand of why we're thankful for who God is. Amen?